And when God speaks to us, we witness it in our hearts. When God speaks to us, there's that witness of the Holy Spirit that God has spoken to us. And in our situation, in our circumstances, praise God. I don't know what circumstances you're going through. I don't know if it's financial, whether it's physical, whether you're thinking about a loved one who's in drugs, having substance misuse. Your marriage is mashing up. The wife, maid, wants to leave you. Your husband wants to walk out of the house. You know, teenagers, they've got this situation where a lot of teenagers are committing suicide. And people have no self-worth. They're not happy with themselves. We're living in a society today that we have mirrors, but when we look at the mirrors, it's an ugly, all we see is ugliness. We don't see anything good about us. But be still and know that God is in your situation. God is in your problems. The time, the nights that you are crying, God knows about that. He knows. And our God is able to heal. Our God is able to deliver. And our God is able to set free. Praise God. Oh, yes, He is. Praise God. Travail of spirit, to be honest with you. Not with regards to prayer, although prayer is the main theme, as Pastor Tully said, is the main theme of the Christian. But really, my heart is kind of broken with some of the news that I've heard. You know, there's a story of a woman who she went to a party, and I was really broken by this story, but this is what's happening in our society today. She went to a party, but she had I don't know how old the child was, between 1 year and two, I'm not quite sure. She brought the child to the party. So in the party, she's reveling with her friends and her family with the baby. She got herself so drunk that she slept on the child, and when one of her relatives came to the house to see her, the relative couldn't wake the woman up, and the child was dead underneath her. Because people are selfish, wanting to celebrate whatever they want to celebrate without any care and concern for the baby that was born towards them, you know. And like I said, we live in today in a very broken society. If you turn your Bible to Joel chapter 2, we're living in a time of darkness, gross darkness. And it seems like, and you know, don't be afraid of this, but I'm going to say it. It seems like demons are coming out from the abyss, you know. And people are, they don't have any self-worth, they don't know their identity, they don't know who they are. A famous pop star said, you know, don't call me by my name, call me they, or call me them. We have a gender problem, we have a problem with recognizing who we are from birth to where we are going, to the grave. In verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Joel, and he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Blowing the trumpet signifies that there is a problem. There is a problem in Israel, and that's how it was within the Jewish culture. Whenever the trumpet was blown, it's time for for us to humble ourselves. It's time for us to repent. It's time for us to find, as they found back then, what was called sackcloth and ashes. And they had to humiliate themselves before God because of the darkness, because of the violence, because of what was happening in the land. The trumpet must be blown. And the trumpet sound must enter into our understanding that it is God that is blowing that trumpet. Praise God. Sometimes we are, we can be dismissive or speakers. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Jesus said, the word of God declares that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, I whenever I'm listening to the word of God through somebody, I always want to hear God speaking. Even if it's a child, I want to hear, is God speaking through that child? Is God speaking through that woman? Is God speaking? Is God speaking? It's imperative. It's important to know that God is speaking. And we can identify with his voice, praise God. And the word of God declares that the Spirit and the bride says, come. And today is a time for us to hear the voice of God, because we're living in a time of darkness. David Cameron, I said, bro, what are we talking about here? David Cameron, he just came out and said that he got very depressed because of Brexit, and he didn't know what to do with himself. And now he's written a book, but in that book, it spells about the drug taking that he was having in Eton. Drugs is part of our society. You know, during the election of the Conservatives, one of the things they said, in fact, one of the things that was highlighted, was the fact that, you know, Boris Johnson was saying, I took drugs. This one said, I took drugs. And the other one said, I took drugs. And I'm wondering, I'm saying to myself, why are you, this is an election of a conservative leader. Why are you guys talking? Why is drugs the agenda here? And the reason why is because it will soon be decriminalized, meaning that they'll make it law. And already it's sweeping all over the net. It's sweeping up in America right now. You've got recreational drugs and you've got medical drugs. It's sweeping all over the earth right now. We're living in a time of darkness. And what's happening is that people want to establish their wrongs and say that their wrongs are right. You know, you can have I don't care. You can have 1.2 million Twitter followers, 300,000 Twitter followers, but the point is this. There is no evidence, there is no actual evidence of good example. You can't find good example today. Everyone is doing what they want to do out of their own heart, out of their own life. Praise God. Joel was told to blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in God's holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. It's a day of darkness, verse 2. A day of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, they have not been ever the like before, neither shall any more after it, even in the years of many generations. What's happening here is that God is releasing judgment. God is the orchestrator of the judgment. So he's releasing it. And as he's releasing it, this is what's happened. Verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burns the land. The land is as the Garden of Eden. So, you know, you're looking at this land. It's pretty beautiful. It's pretty cultivated. It's pretty flourishing. Water is just flowing everywhere. But now a fire is burning through that land. And all of a sudden, the Garden of Eden becomes a garden of waste. A fire devoured before them, and behind them, a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them, a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Let me ask you a question today. Is your life a wilderness? Are you having problems sleeping at night? Jesus said, I am the peace of peace. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world do I give unto you. So there is a peace that is out there in the world, which is temporal, but it's not as vital as the peace that our Lord gives to us. Praise God. It's not as vital. And the spirit of the world, we are in contention with. We are in contention with the spirit of the world. Because the spirit of the world causes us to go downstream, while God wants us to go upstream. Now, the only creature we know that can go upstream are salmon. You know, salmon swim upstream. And the bear, he stands there because he knows it. He catches the salmon and he eats when it's time, when it's his season to eat. Praise God. But we need to be people that are going up. The scripture says in Hebrews that we should not be people that are thinking of turning back. We should be people that are thinking of going forward. We should be people that are thinking of advancing in God, advancing in our growth, advancing in our relationships with our family, advancing in our relationship in our church, advancing in our relationship. Praise God. So, verse 4, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Verse 5, like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Verse 6, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather in blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They won't attack each other. But they shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the horse, the houses. They shall enter into it at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Verse 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, praise God, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now, verse 10, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with reaping, and with mourning, praise God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. The trumpet must be blown, praise God. And when we blow the trumpet in Zion, we realize what time and age that we are living in, praise God. We realize what time and age that we're living in. And we realize the urgency of the time and age we're living in. time for us to develop within our prayer life. Jesus said to the disciples, can you not pray with me but 1 hour? Just only 1 hour. You know, if I was shorting it down to 15 minutes, you know, can we not pray first for 50? Those of us who are struggling in our prayer life, in prayer, we don't pray, we don't read our Bibles, we don't study our Bibles. Those of us who are like that, what about 15 minutes? Because 15 minutes would add to another 15, that would be half an hour. Add to another 15, that's 45. And another 15, that will take it to where it needs to be. You know, when I watch football, you know, the game is for 90 minutes. And for 90 minutes, it's got to have my interest. If it doesn't have my interest, I don't watch it. Praise God. You know, and the thing about it, you know, we're here for 2 to mostly 3 hours. Some of us, Pastor Robert, we've been here for 9 o'clock. You know, but the thing about it is that we have to make the most of it. You know, we can't have our hands down when it's time to worship. You know, I look behind there. We've got our sister Peace in a wheelchair, and Anne and Elizabeth in a wheelchair. And I can tell you, I've seen the Spirit of the Lord on all those three worshiping the Lord. They may not be able to stand and worship God, but they're worshiping God. Praise God! But those of us who are able-bodied, why can we not do that? Why is there a problem for us to reach out to God in praise and worship? God wants us to not rend our clothes as they did back in the day. God wants us to strip our hearts. God wants our heart. The Spirit wants our heart. And that's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If the world is coming in, push the world out. When temptation comes, do we have a scripture verse? Are we memorizing scripture verses for us to defeat the devil with? Or are we allowing the temptation to come and to slay us? Another thing as well. Do we resist the devil? Are we aware that we are fighting an entity, an unseen entity, that is seen in his manifestation of evil on the earth? He's called the devil. And do you know we're meant to resist him? Praise God. The Bible says resist him. And he will flee, praise God. But God is saying to us, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Get captured the moment, the day, the year that you are in, praise God. And rend your heart and not your clothes. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger, praise God, and of great kindness, and repent of him of the evil. In other words, God is sending this army. This army is on its way. But the army can be averted through prayer, through fasting, through repentance, for confession of sin. It can be averted, praise God. All the things that are coming upon this country, all the things that are coming upon this earth can be averted through prayer, intercessory prayer. The scripture says, Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me that I may have utterance. I just want some utterance. You know, sometimes when I come and I stand, I just don't want it to be me when I'm speaking. I need utterance. And I can only get it from you, my brother, my sister, when you pray for me. That's what I love about Paul. He was a team player. He needed a church to pray for him. He had the signs. He had the wonders. He had all that around him. But he still needed prayer support. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need prayer support. But we have to see the need for it, praise God. You know, it's not a time when, you know, we're not waiting for something worse to happen for us to then say we need to pray. Wisdom says, let's get the wisdom first before the prayer. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't want to say hallelujah, I will say hallelujah. Praise God. God is gracious. Oh my God. I've got no time to even talk about that. The scripture says it. God is merciful. He was slow to anger. And of great kindness and repentance. You know, God can avert it. You know, I remember when I was in the world and I was surrounded with people. I used to take drugs quite a lot. And I always wondered, you know, now that I'm saved, I just wonder why I never took drugs, you know, and why I never smoked a spliff. I just wondered why, and I just have to look at it. It's the graciousness of God. It's God's grace. You know, though I wasn't saved, but somehow something said to me, do not partake of this thing. Sometimes, you know, righteousness is a clothing that Christ gives us after we get saved, praise God. But then righteousness also has to do with your decision making. You make right decisions through your righteousness. Do you know that? And that's why some people say, where is it in the Bible that says that we shouldn't smoke? You know? Where is it in the Bible that says that I should be using a vapor? You know? No. Righteousness also equals holiness, sanctification, separation to God, and it also gives you, God gives us wisdom. Praise God. We're not wondering whether we should touch this thing. We know we should touch it. Oh, praise God. So our God is a gracious God. Our God is a merciful God. My God, when I was in sin, oh my God, I didn't even know I was in sin. You know, I didn't know. My brother got saved. My brother came home telling me about Jesus. And I'm thinking, nah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. In fact, you know, I want to chase the girls, you know. I want to chase the girls. If you get saved, that means that you're in, I'm out. I want to chase the women out there. You know, that was my motive. That was my prerogative. And I got saved somehow, some way. God saw the need of salvation. My mom died, and my mom died on my birthday, and I was 16 years of age. And the only thing I could do was go into a party and look for my joy. I went into this party, and everybody was standing around, and I found out I was the only one dancing, which was weird. The only one dancing is this party, and everybody's standing around. Because those were the days, I used to go out and you used to look for your joy. You go out to get your joy. You go out in the blues, you know, in the parties. You pay your little, how much was it, £5, whatever it was. The speaker was going like, the amplifier's like 3,000 decibels. And you know, all you want to do is enjoy yourself with your skull or long life or whatever it is, special brew. But I'm telling you, when Jesus came into my life, it was an impact. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ made a difference in my life. And my twin brother got saved first. Then after a while, he was telling me about Christ. I didn't want to know. And then somehow, how my situation happened to get set up when I got saved. We were walking down this road. And while coming from a club somewhere, three of us, myself, my brother, and this girl. And while we were walking down this road, there was a group of guys that were walking towards us. And those were the days, as it is today, where there was racism, you know? A group of white guys, you know? So they were walking towards us. We were on the other side of the road. And then they crossed the road. And as they crossed the road, my brother turned back. They started to run, and I'm being Mr. Idiot, you know, I said, well, I'm going to keep walking. And as I kept walking, they were coming to beat me up. I didn't know, they were coming to take my life, you know. And as I'm walking, I heard there's a cab driver who's driving. He said, "Hoy!" know that British voice. Oi! Leave him alone! You know? And somehow I walked kind of through them, you know? My heart was pumping. I got home, started crying. And I was saying to myself, what would have happened if he had died that day? And that's how I got saved. So when my brother got home, I said, this is my brother, listen, man. This thing happened to me today, and I think I need Christ. He said, well, I've been waiting for you to ask. You know, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Praise God. Here am I today, through the grace of God. The grace of Almighty God. So when I look back at my life and I see the decisions I made and the decisions I didn't make, even those decisions were of God. Praise God. That led me to salvation. So our God is a gracious God. Our God is a merciful God. He is slow in anger. He is great kindness. And he can save you today. Praise God. He can heal you today. He can deliver you today. He can set you free today. Praise God. That's our God. For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who knows? And this is the question that's asked. If he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? A question mark. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. Those that suck on the breast. We've got children here today. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. This is an emergency. It's not time for your earthly desires to be fulfilled. This is kingdom business. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? God, if you're going to reject us, don't you think, God, you know, wait a minute. If you're going to reject us, God, then the heathen are going to say, God has rejected us. God, wouldn't that be a bit confusing? And that's why God's going to say, yes, I know it's going to be confusing, but I'm trying to get you, I'm going to get my people at a place where my people can acknowledge their sins, where my people can confess their sins, and that where I can avert the judgment that is coming. Praise God. Because I'm a God of graciousness. I'm a God of kindness. See, that other side of me that you're looking at, where I, you know, which is complete violence, that's not really my side. That's my side because of consequences. Consequences have to be dealt with. The sin of consequence has got to be dealt with. Has always got to be dealt with. But God said, but listen, there's another side of me that you need to see. Praise God. I am a gracious God. I'm a kind God. I'm a forgiving God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Praise God. So verse 17, so let the priests, the ministers of the Lord. There were so many of them there back then. Let them cry, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people. God, please do not bring this judgment over us. Lord, please avert it from us. Praise God. And give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And where, you know, the question is, well, what is your, how can I say, how are we exemplified, how are we bringing the example of Christ in our homes? How are we bringing the example of Christ in our workplace? Do we swear like the way the sinners are swearing? If someone sends you an email and the email upsets you, do you swear? There's got to be a difference. God is having a people, and his people are people of difference. And the difference is that we are not like the world. We don't speak like the world. We don't think like the world. We were in the world. We were of the world, but God has now taken us out of the world, and now we have become the example. Praise God. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, you know, if I'm going to follow Christ, I have to see an example. And what's lacking on the earth today is example, praise God. Example in government. Example in our hospitals. There's no example. There's no example in our schools. Every man says to himself, I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless of how it feels to do. I'm going to do it. But you can do it. Go ahead and do it, but there's consequences. Does Jesus, or Paul said, the wages of sin is death? It doesn't mean, now, you know, the wages of sin is death. We're not praying on your fears here. But what he's saying, that the wages of sin is death, meaning spiritual death. You're walking on the earth, but there's no life. There's no connection with God. There's no conversation with God. There's no presence of God. There's no praise in your heart. You're not overcoming your fears. You're not overcoming your worries. And you're allowing the devil to have a foothold in your life. Praise God. Where is there God? I don't want people to ask me that question. I want to say, look, today, even saying you're a Christian is not enough. Because people say one thing and do something different. And we are not those, we can't live like that. We have to live a life of example. Peter said, let not, if you're a Christian, don't suffer as a murderer. He used the word murder. Don't suffer as a murderer. Don't suffer as a thief. And don't even suffer as a murderer. So we have to be Christians that bring example. Praise God. Well, I don't care. Well, brother, I don't believe what you're saying. When I get in my car, if anybody crosses me, I'm gonna tell them what it is. Yeah. Again, where's the example? I'm sure the Lord gives us patience. Praise God. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you corn. God says, look, the land has been devastated. That's the first phase of my judgment. But now God says, look, I know how to put this thing right. God says, yea, the Lord will answer. Verse 19, and say to his people, behold, I will send you corn, I will send you wine, I will send you oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Praise God. God says, I will remove far off from you the northern army. God says, I will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink, his very stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. And one of my favorite verses, God says, fear not. He's not there. This is not the time when he's speaking to the people. He's speaking to the land. Praise God. God is not speaking to the people yet, but he's speaking to the land. He's speaking, he sees the land. Like Sister Debbie, when you said, the Son of Man said, prophesy, didn't he? Prophesy to the bones. When we had to pray, Son of Man, prophesy. So God is prophesying to the land. The land that was desolate. And God says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice. For the Lord will do good things. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? The land will be productive. It doesn't look like the land's going to be productive. It doesn't look like nothing's going to grow. Nothing's going to grow in my life. Nothing's going to grow in my life. But something will grow because God has spoken. Praise God. The trumpet has sounded. Praise God. And when God speaks, strength comes within. Oh, hallelujah. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness. And now God is even speaking to all the animals, telling the animals that those, the animals that have died and those animals that were present, God is saying, look, you're suffering now, but there's coming a time there's going to be green grass. God is speaking. Hallelujah. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the trees bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, now this is our turn now, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Why do we need the rain? Because the rain is productive for the vine. The rain is productive for the corn. The rain is productive, praise God. And when the rain comes, it's just, you know, as we know, these things don't just sprout out. It takes a period of time before you see corn. It's a period of time before you see wine in the vine. Praise God. But God has his process of making this happen. Hallelujah. God has his process of making it happen in our life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So be glad then. And so God says, I will restore, verse 24, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you, God said, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, you who have dealt wondrously with you. And my people, praise God, shall never be ashamed. Because God now is giving us the entire detail of what's very important here is the promise. And what's more important here is what has God promised you? What has God promised me? Are we presenting that promise to God? Are we saying, God, this is the promise that you have made. Lord, can you activate this promise for me according to your word? Praise God. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God that I've dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Praise God. Last week, Pastor Brian, I spoke about the abundance of rain. Praise God. The sound of the abundance of rain. And God is talking about the rain here in this verse. 23, my last verse. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And Furthermore, during this scripture verse, he starts to talk about the promise, of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The promise of the Holy Spirit. The question I like to ask, have you received the Holy Spirit? Can you do without the Holy Spirit in your life? Because the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is something that we need to pray and confirm, ask God to confirm His word for us to receive it in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads right now. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we will rejoice in you. We will rejoice in you. But we can't rejoice if we haven't got joy in our hearts. So, Lord, we pray that the joy of the Lord shall be our strength. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. cause a breakthrough on us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we tear down strongholds right now. But those who are sick in body, Father God, we cast the devil out, the devil of sickness and disease and infirmity, in the name of Jesus. We pray that your healing stream will flow. Your healing stream will flow and touch your people, Lord. Because you are gracious, you are kind.